Good morning. Welcome everyone this morning to Shenburn Community Moravian Church. We'll begin our service by reading together the watchword for the week that is printed inside your bulletin. Make a joyful noise to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise. We have news for the church in our bulletins. In addition to what's in there, we wanted to add that we are still collecting money for Ben and Emily. It can be put in the offering plate or given to Linda Bunnell. If you put it in the offering plate, please mark it for them. Thank you to Bill Serber to be with us today for our service. Sign-up sheets for the Strawberry Festival are out in the narthex. Please sign up to help with that. And speaking of summer, we will have a new earlier worship time this summer. It begins on June 4th. We'll start meeting at 9:30, and there will be no Sunday school. And speaking of Sunday school, today was the last day for Sunday school. There's also sign-up sheets for the cleaning of the church. out in the narthex, and also there is a lasagna fundraising dinner that's going to be held on June 3rd at Sharon. It's for supporting the youth that are going to Convo. You can see McKenna for tickets or donations. The items for the newsletter are due today, so if you could get those to me, I would appreciate it. Tomorrow, the Board of Elders is meeting at 6, Joint Board is meeting at 7. This coming weekend is Sweep the Streets. Do you have anything to add about that?
I'm a little short on help, so I'd appreciate people looking at it and signing up if they can help. It doesn't start till 11 o'clock tonight, and it usually takes about an hour to do it. I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. Next Saturday also is Justin Miller's graduation party. It's here at the church from 2 to 6. I think that's all the announcements, unless anyone else has one. Okay, if we could all stand up and sing our opening hymn, 551, From All That Dwell Below the Skies. Christian fellowship.
Thank you.
Please remain standing and turn to page 13 in the front of your hymnal for the liturgy, General Liturgy 2, Reconciliation. Almighty God, enthroned above all, you alone are God over the nations of the earth. Even the planets, the stars, and the galaxies are placed by your hand. Where could we go from your spirit? Where could we flee from your presence? If we go up to the heavens, you are there. If we go down into the caves of the earth or the depths of the sea, you are there. God of all creation, we sing praises to your name. We stand jubilant before your glory, power, and beauty. God of certainty, God of truth, our confidence is in you and in you alone. Yet we live in a fallen world and we are an imperfect people. Our world is filled with pain and alienation. We know of illness when body or mind is failing and the loneliness of spirit it brings. We know of separation from parent or child, from friend or neighbor, and the emptiness of life it brings. We know of strangeness in new communities and in changing communities, and the longing it brings. We know of alienation caused by unemployment, poverty, or discrimination, and the pain it brings. We have become strangers to our relatives and foreigners to our own families. How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Let our cry for help come to you. I am a God nearby, says the Lord. Do I not fill heaven and earth? I am the Lord your God. I have called you out from the peoples, and you shall be holy to me. We declare your praise, the one who called us out of darkness into your wonderful light. We are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to you.
Thank you.
seated. Gracious God, we humbly confess that we walk in the way of the indifferent, who depend on their strength alone. We sit among the scornful, who deny the need for your guidance and power. Our hearts are not satisfied with riches, vulnerable to moth and rust and thief. Yet we zealously store up those very treasures. Set our minds on things unseen and eternal, that our emptiness within may be filled. We humbly confess that we fail to welcome the stranger among us. We pass by the neighbor who is hungry and thirsty, naked, sick, and in prison. We sing of your healing power and your unconditional love, but we fail to make our sanctuaries true havens for the suffering and the exile. Give us the will to be ambassadors for our Savior and faithful stewards of the ministry of reconciliation entrusted to us. Lord, have mercy on us. Amen. Without Christ, we were strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, we who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. He is our peace. We are no longer strangers and aliens, but citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, with Christ himself as the cornerstone. Therefore, let us affirm our faith in the triune God. Please stand. We believe in the one God who has created the land and the sea and heaven and all that is in them, who established a world that was good, who gives to us the task of watchful and responsible care over it, who is certainty and truth. We believe in the one God who in Jesus Christ assumed our humanity and knew our life as child, youth, and adult, who dined with sinners and lived with the homeless, who confronted popular opinion and power, who remained obedient in temptation and suffering, whose triumph was a servant's death and resurrection. We believe in the one God who comes to us as comforter and advocate, who does not leave us as orphans, who brings peace and calms the troubled heart, who bestows gifts for serving, showing compassion, and doing miracles, who alone is the power and the wisdom of our proclamation. Let us in faith keep our eyes fixed on the promises of God, though we see them and greet them from a distance. We confess that we are strangers and foreigners on the earth, a people who are seeking our true home. We desire a better place, that is a heavenly one. Indeed, God has prepared a city for us. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us.
Thank you.
At this time, we come to the prayers of the people. In addition to the ones that are printed in the bulletin, we add the following. A Thanksgiving prayer for our graduates. Concerns for the Barry Walker family. He passed away. The family of Joe Schanauer. His wife passed away. Amy has medical tests this week. At the conclusion of our prayer, we will share in the Lord's Prayer that can be found on page 4. Let us bow for prayer, please. God of everlasting love, you generously provide all things for us. We pray for people everywhere. Make your way known to them, your saving power among all nations. We pray for the welfare of your church here on earth. Guide and govern it by your good spirit, so that all who call themselves Christians may be led in the way of truth and hold the faith and unity of spirit in the bond of peace and in righteousness of life. We commend to your fatherly goodness all who are afflicted or distressed in mind, body, or circumstance. Relieve them according to their needs, give them patience in their sufferings, and deliver them from all their afflictions. All this we ask for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our first scripture reading comes from Psalms chapter 66, verses 8 through 20. Praise our God, all peoples, let the sound of his praise be heard. He has preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping. For you, God, tested us. You refined us like silver. You brought us into prison. You laid burdens on our backs. You let people ride over our heads. We went through fire and water, but you brought us to a place of abundance. I'll come to your temple with burnt offerings, and I will fulfill my vows to you. Vows my lip promised, and my mouth spoke when I was in trouble. When I was in trouble, I will sacrifice fat animals to you, and an offering of rams, I will offer bulls and goats. Come and hear, all you who fear God. Let me tell you what he has done for me. I cried out to him with my mouth. His praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God has surely listened and has heard my prayer. Praise be to God, who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me. Our gospel reading comes from John chapter 14, verses 15 through 21. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and I will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you before long. The world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning. I said I would give a shout out to those who came to Fry's Valley's chicken dinner last night, so thank you for coming. And also, Steve Pasquinelli has offered a great service, because you're going to earlier service when he contacted me and let me know that next month I'd have to come earlier. And I said, you know, geez, 9:30. And he said, well, you want a wake-up call. So he's offering a wake-up call service. See him on your way out, and he'll sign you up, and he'll call you every Sunday to remind you church is at 9:30. Well, you offer it to one, you got to offer it to all. Freedom is one of our major American virtues. But freedom, abstractly defined, admittedly, can never be a true Christian virtue. Now, what I mean by that is simply, if we are obedient to Christ's ways, we're never really free because we have a master. So keep that in mind and it'll become evident where we're going. In today's gospel, Jesus is leaving his disciples. This is all part of the farewell discourse that's a major part of the last part of the Gospel of John. But in saying goodbye, is he really leaving them to their own devices? I mean, does he say to them, I've now given you proper preparation for your roles without me. Good luck. You're on your own. No, he doesn't say that. For 3 years, Jesus had been patiently instructing them in the particulars of his way in the world. Jesus has allowed them to be firsthand witnesses to all his wonderful signs. And now he says to them, I will give you another advocate. The advocate will be the Holy Spirit who, by this passage at least, is to be the same type of counselor and comforter and guide that Jesus has been when he was with his disciples. He does not leave his disciples alone, nor does he expect them to find their own way as best they can. He tells them that this companion, this advocate, the Holy Spirit, will abide with you and will be in you. That's in the 17th verse. In other words, they will still have the same intimate, personal connection with the advocate that they enjoyed with Jesus. Now, there's a message here for us too, just as there was for them. When Jesus calls us to follow him, he doesn't expect us to be some kind of spiritual superhero flying solo on our own. He just wants us to be obedient to him, to follow him, follow his ways, follow his teachings. And this is a message that goes against our ingrained cultural and societal predispositions. Personal strength and resolve are what we cherish, not obedience and following. Used to be, why did a student go to college? Well, the parents might say, to get a good education, to gain wisdom, things like that. However, if you ask the kid, they were probably inwardly saying, so I can be out on my own, so I can live my own life free of parental interference. Think with it what you will. Think back when you went to college and why you wanted to go to college, to be away from home and all that stuff. So, yeah, it's there, whether you admit it or not. Or it's also true, or was often true, of why a person got married. Also, to get out of the house. Now, there are other reasons, obviously, but that was in there. Though that's not necessarily true of, these things are not necessarily true of the current generations who are just as happy to live at home as long as possible. But then some parents are not cutting the umbilical cord either. Two sides. And what do older people fear about getting older? Not the loss of a spouse or death, rather the fear of becoming dependent on their family. Today's gospel depicts idea of obedience and dependence. Jesus says that we are to obey his commands. If we love him, then we are to obey him. That's where I say we don't necessarily have the freedom or the free will we sometimes think we have if we're following Christ properly, put it in that reference. Then immediately he says he will give us a gift. He will give us a presence with us, next to us, in us, so that we will be able to faithfully follow him. In the light of this word from John's gospel, you might think that the Christian faith is training in obedience and dependency. Hang on to that thought for a second. Listen to the words of an Army boot camp sergeant. Most of your training will be in how to obey orders. You have been spoiled, indulged, taught to think for yourselves. Isn't that the way our society trains us? That kind of thinking may be good for most jobs, but not for the Army. This is a risk, life-threatening work. The only way to get people into this sort of work and to have them move and move quickly is through obedience. The Army is training in obedience. That's the whole point of these 10 weeks of boot camp. We get you in here, in the safe confines of this base, and we train you to obey orders so that once you get on the battlefield, you'll do it without thinking. At the end of this service, you'll go down the steps, or out that door, down the steps, and out the door to your cars and into the real world. Exiting through the doors of the church, and you'll go back into the world, into the mission field. Because let's face it, the way our society, country, world is going, we're the minority. We're the missionaries out there, Jesus' disciples in the world. And we leave commanded to love. But the world doesn't function the way Christ commands us to live. While we are commanded to witness to Jesus' love for us, the world, on the other hand, commands us to keep quiet about our faith and just go with the flow, not to impose our faith on others. Therefore, when you leave church today, you'll be engaged in a kind of guerrilla war, being subtle, sneaky in how you win your battle, I guess you would say. A war in which obedience is required. A dogged determination to obey Jesus and to walk his loving way. No matter what 9 out of 10 average Americans, how they act. To counter the way of society. That's how we're supposed to do. It will take our obedience to bring about change. So we come in here, and in the name of Jesus, are commanded to do certain tasks. Hard tasks, admittedly, that are against our natural inclinations. Because it's not the way we act out there. But that's some of the problem. How we act in here is different from how we act out there. And Jesus is calling us to say, no, there's no difference. What you do here, you do out there. It's one and the same. And here we do things like praise God more than we praise ourselves, or confess our sins, or forgive our enemies. But do we do that out there? Do we forgive those who cut in front of us in line someplace or in the car or whatever? We're training here in the safe confines of the church to learn to obey orders so that when we get out into the battlefield of life, obedience to the narrow way of Christ is second nature to us. We do it without thinking because it's what we're supposed to do. It's what, if you will, say a muscle memory to do. If walking out of here and praising God in all that we do or say, or being honest about our own sinful limitations, or forgiving those who wrong us, if that seems like an impossible task for us to do, take heart. Jesus did not leave us to do it alone. He doesn't expect us to be faithful all by our lonesome. He sent us the Holy Spirit, as I talked about back at the beginning. These two parts go together in those 15 to 21, six verses. It all comes together. That's why the Holy Spirit is being given to us, so that we have somebody to rely on when we need to act like a Christian. Jesus sends that constant near presence of God to embolden us, to strengthen us, to enable us, and to be more than we could be on our own. That's why we're getting the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you have called us to be your disciples. You have called us to walk in your ways and to follow your laws. But sometimes we feel very distant from you. We are confronted by dilemmas in life that cause us to question our faith. We come to an intersection in life and don't know which way to turn. We want to be strong and faithful, but that isn't easy, considering the challenges that life throws our way. Therefore, we do pray for the gift of the Advocate, the Comforter, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit. May that Spirit breathe upon us, stand beside us, enter into us, that we may be the disciples you would like us to be, that we may follow you no matter where you lead us, that we might obey your commands for our lives, no matter what. Amen. Let us rise and join in our closing hymn, number 625, I Love to Tell the Story.
Thank you.
And intercession of the Holy Spirit be with us always. Amen.
Thank you.